Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stevie B!
What up, buddy?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, dude. How are you?
I'm good. So this is good. Tuesday. This is Tuesday, and you guys will be hearing this tomorrow. So like, this is, you know, this is current. This is about as live as we can get.
This is as close as a air show as possible, for sure.
And
so.
Boy, there are balls in the air.
Oh, dude, it's getting busy again. It's getting busy again, for sure. A lot going on. I mean, It just never stops, which is great because I love it. Bring it all, anytime, anywhere. I'm ready to roll. But we are going on tour here in May, which is going to be pretty awesome. You know, it's interesting because there's, you know, dealing with the clubs and people opening and figuring out the clubs, what works for them with proximity and social distancing and how do we sell tickets and all these things. So,
yeah,
you know, it gets to be a lot, but we're figuring it out. So if you guys are coming, there are some venues where you have to buy 4 tickets. You have to buy your own table. So, you know, just be prepared for that and get 4 people together and come. That's the best way to do it. Not every club, but some clubs.
Ultimately, you know, what is a little sad, I will say, is that what I loved about, you know, these kind of events in the past is that people would meet each other and we always say, you know, we've always said, you know, if you come alone, you'll leave with a friend.
That's true.
You know, and so on for, you know, that's the one kind of sad time about this kind of time. And what's going on now is that, you know, we have to kind of stay a little separated. So you got to bring your friends with you.
Bring your friends
but what's great about Facebook, what's great about those, you know, and I know people find each other online. If you find someone in your region that also wants to go to the show, you know, reach out. So anyway, there's a way to connect over shared interests, before you go,
because
some tables are 2, some tables are 4. And that way you guys have your own little island in the midst of the showroom floor.
Yeah,
to stay safe.
It's going to be a blast, man.
We're so excited to get back out there. And all tickets are at stonecoldandthejackal.com. We're hitting Baltimore, Raleigh, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, Birmingham, Huntsville, and Nashville. The last week of May. We're very excited. And gosh, it's coming up
really quick. That's coming. Really quick. Somebody on our Patreon page is like, it's 27 days away. I'm like, I got to learn my stuff.
Yeah.
I got to work my stuff. But, you know, we were just talking before we got on. You know, it's an interesting time. I was actually talking to somebody at work about it too yesterday. The whole being an actor and the climate of auditions now, especially with COVID, and putting yourself on tape.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people have set up little studios in their house to put themselves on tape. Now, for people who aren't listening, before, the old school way was you'd have an audition time, you'd show up at the casting office, you'd sign in, you'd wait, they'd call you in, you'd read, maybe you get a call back, maybe you don't. If you get a call back, you go again and meet some more people, read for a producer, blah, 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 until you get the job, right? But now everything seems to be self-tape, which means there's benefits, and I think negatives to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Major negatives. Yeah.
Yeah.
But also some good positives. Right.
Yeah, the positives are that you get to do the scene over and over again until you like it, until your performance is where you think it should be, right?
Or
the negative
where
is
where you think that's the best you're going to get in that moment.
Sure, right. I mean, we've done these on the road. We've talked about it before. Like, you know, at midnight, you're like, dude, I got a self-tape. Can you get up at 5:30 and do it with me?
Right, because we got a flight at 8:30, but it's due that, day at noon.
Yeah. Yeah, so we do it and you send it in. But it's funny because we're so used to now being in this routine of Stone Cold and the Jackal, going on the road, doing our podcast, doing content. But we've never, it's never in on my mind. It might be more on your mind that because you're the one who's not on contract, which is actually a great deal for you. People like, put him on contract. Don't put him on contract because he gets to still work at GH. We get to do all our stuff. And then he's still available to audition.
Yeah.
Which is great. Right. Because he's an actor and he wants to do other things. So lo and behold, you have a self tape coming up for a series regular in Vancouver. Right.
Right.
But,
yeah. So
I'm going to let you talk in 1 second, but the thing that I don't, it's never really on my mind. Like it's not on my mind. I'm like, holy crap. He could go actually, go get a series regular and we're done.
Well, we're not, we wouldn't be done. It would.
What are you doing, dude? I'm going to be on the bus all by myself. Me and Jeremy. Stone Cold and the Transporter. I don't know. What
Stone
are we going to do?
Stone Cold and the Transporter.
No, I'm kidding. He hasn't got, don't panic. He hasn't gotten anything yet, but I'm saying it's always out there. Go ahead.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, we get in this routine. And we love this routine and I love it, you know, and also it sustains us and it sustains me and I love where we're at.
Great.
And, you know, that's the thing is like normally, you know, for most actors, it's like, you know, they're waiting for the phone to ring and they can't wait to get that opportunity. And part of that is based out of necessity, right? It's like, oh gosh. Or that whatever that maintains them, you know, financially is a job that they don't care about. Right.
Sure. Totally.
So like they can't wait to call their manager at that job and be like, I booked a series regular. I'm out.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Totally.
You know, and we've heard those stories on our podcast from people that, you know, have, you know, got the call either for GH or for another job and then have been able to leave their, you know, their just side job. But for me, you know, we've invested so much of ourselves into what we're doing and, you know, me being on GH, however, you know, sporadic that is, plays into that.
Sure.
And, you know, so like, so when other opportunities come in front of me, it is conflicting in a way.
Yeah.
It is conflicting in a way because obviously I want to do everything fun that I can, but you know, what we're doing here is not just for fun. We're building something and something that I want to be a part of my life for as long as it can be. And so like, you know, obviously if I were to book a job and have to travel somewhere, it would make our podcasts super interesting and it would make our, do you know what I mean? Like we could make interesting stuff out of it. We could pivot in the way that we pivoted this year.
Yeah, you have to pivot. That's all it would be is just a pivot, you know?
Right.
Because
and that's the thing is like none of these things last forever, right?
That's right. That's what I was going to say. The odds of you getting something that goes 6 years is not, your odds aren't great, right?
But then maybe I become a big star and SC&J, maybe I'm on the top.
Then I'm driving the bus for you.
Right. It's the Jackal and Stone Cold now, bitch.
No, it's the Jackal, bitch. There's no Stone Cold anymore. He's just driving the bus. No one wants to see the old guy driving the bus. All they're gonna see is like, damn, that guy's jacked. He's driving your bus. Yeah, he used to be somebody. He's fine.
So
he's my bodyguard now.
that's the thing is like, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, our work life becomes more varied, but we still keep what we're doing, it would bring other audiences in and who knows, it could keep,
immediacy, it's not here and we're having fun, but you know, listen, you got to do whatever best for you and your family always. And that's what it is, right? I mean, that, and
well, but the funny thing is the best thing for my family is to do what is more predictable and, you know, like, which is what we're doing now. Me moving to someplace in Canada for 2 months to do something would be a challenge for my family.
I know that's why I went back to General Hospital in the first place when I was doing all those things. I go, this is just not conducive to a great marriage and family life, you know?
Right.
So,
but as we said before we started recording, it's like when you're in this business and you're looking to build a career, like you have to keep putting, you know, you have to keep showing up for opportunities. And because some of it is just relationship building, right? It's not, you know, you're not going to book everything you do, but you do your best work in every situation so that when the right thing comes along for your type, your life, whatever, the timing matches up.
Sure.
Those relationships are there to be like, oh, that guy, I remember him, you know?
Yeah.
All
right. So I got to bring something up.
Oh, good.
And you and I talked about it briefly.
Okay.
And we have a great guest today, by the way, everybody. Very excited. But I'm just going to bring this up because you and I talked about it when we were together that in April 16th, the Pentagon confirmed that there were UFOs.
That's right. Aliens.
And nobody's going crazy over this. Like, if you read the story of this, the fighter pilot who saw this with his own eyes, one of the most credible witnesses in the history of UFO sightings ever.
Right.
This guy is the most legit guy there is. And he followed these things and they were from another planet. Which means somebody's driving the UFO.
Well, who knows? I mean, we have driverless cars.
I know
they could be driverless UFOs. Listen, they could be drones. They could be alien drones.
But how can nobody be talking about this? Like, nobody's talking. Like, there's UFOs. Like, there's something out there that we've been searching for 100 years plus,
right?
Or 200 years. Or there's been drawings on stone from 1,000 years ago of UFOs, and nobody's talking about it. Like, I'm not hoping, like, hey, I love aliens, but are we not, like, the government's been trying to cover this up forever, and all of a sudden now they go, hey, yeah, it's real, and nobody's like, what?
It is, the only thing I can think of is that it's maybe not a, like, a he said, she said kind of thing, so there's nothing to argue about. Maybe. I don't know why.
Wouldn't people be like, holy, like at work, just like, holy crap. Did you hear, dude? There's freaking aliens.
Maybe it's because there aren't any water cooler conversations right now.
Dude, come on. This is so, I can't even believe it.
No, I agree with you. I'm trying to think of the reasons.
I know. It's just, but incredible. If you look at the video, it was a fighter pilot, named David Fravor, and he was up in the air, and all of a sudden he sees this thing and they're like, what is this? And they couldn't track it. It went from like 50,000 feet to 1 foot in half a second.
Yeah. That
like it, like in, and it supposedly did an act of war, and an act of war is when someone else jams your radar. Oh. So they would track this thing. And every time it came on radar, their radar would be jammed. And then it would drop out of sight. And then they'd find it again. And they'd drop out of sight. And it was just playing little game, like little reindeer games with them. They're like,
Hey, can't catch me.
Whatever we
can't
want.
Catch me. I'm the alien.
But I just couldn't believe, like, it wasn't, people wouldn't, I just couldn't believe that there was no talk about it at all. Just on the streets. Like, I want to run outside and go, hey,
aliens.
There's aliens. Okay, Steve. Thanks, man. No, thanks. It's confirmed. They have video. Okay, Steve. Thanks. Go back in your house, buddy. What's happening here?
I know. It is. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, for me, I assumed there was, you know, like if what we know of the galaxy or not the galaxy, the universe, what we know of the universe, that it is infinite or whatever, you know, as far as we know, there has to be like odds are there is some sort of life somewhere in the universe besides us.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I'm like, in a way I'm relieved because I want there to be other life because I want to learn, like, how great would it be for us to learn from smarter beings?
Maybe they're coming down and be like, hey, you guys are doing this all wrong. We got to help you out. But listen, if you're in whatever, if you're interested, check out the video that David Fravor has from the jet. And then Bob Lazar was another guy who did a documentary. Check out his documentary on Netflix. It's super interesting. This guy never monetized his story ever. And that's how you know he's legit.
Right. I wanted to watch that. And
it's incredible. It's really incredible. The stuff that happened to him because of it, and he still didn't make any money off of this thing, is incredible. Like, he was just this is the truth. This is what happened, you know? And now all of a sudden it's the truth. Now, after 30 years of being, you know, tortured, ridiculed, followed by the government, now they're like, yeah, it's real. Sorry, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for you. What about Bob?
That's enough of that, but.
I know. ET
did phone home. ET phoned home, brother.
Right.
And they came.
And they came. Thanks, ET. I've been trying to gauge my feelings about it because you're right. I wasn't like, what the what? Which seems like I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Like, I don't know why I'm so at ease about it.
I don't know why. I don't know why anybody is. Honestly, it changes everything.
It
changes everything. What else is out there?
I guess
they've been coming here for thousands of years.
I think it's just our ability to be shocked is.
I mean, come on. This is like the one of the biggest things ever in the history of Earth. I mean, what are we talking about here?
I can't be shocked anymore. I don't know what it is.
I blame it. I guess I'm blaming social media.
I guess, you know,
I don't know.
Or maybe it's, you know, like, and I mean, this could be tied to, you know, you could say it's like social media, but like, maybe it's the National Enquirer telling me aliens have been here for 40 years. Every time I walk into the, you know, into the shopping aisle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the constant barrage of things that are meant to shock you.
Sure.
And then when something actually is shock worthy or big, my body is so used to just being like,
I guess,
but I mean, I'm excited about it. I want to learn more about it.
And we'll get to our guest here in a second. Information just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, sure.
It just doesn't matter anymore.
Well, and then I my guess is, you know,
doesn't matter.
Somebody, whatever information there is, somebody will try to undermine it too, right? Probably.
Of course. Well, there's always both groups. Here's information and we're going to make it misinformation. Always, right?
Right.
It's been that way forever. But now we just have more avenues of getting both of those all the time. We're inundated all the time with that stuff. And then they say, then the government goes, yeah, there are aliens or UFOs. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Can you pass me that tuna sandwich?
Ooh, tuna melt.
Oh, now you want it. Now you're hungry. Well, before you eat, we got a good guest today.
We sure do.
We're gonna have fun.
I wonder if he's excited about aliens. We'll have to ask him.
Now we're gonna ask him. We're gonna have to.
He's a younger fellow, so he may still have some shock and awe left in him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm interested in seeing what people think. This is crazy. So. All right, we're excited about our guest today. I've tracked him down. We have
that's my alien noise. Does it sound alienish?
Kind of Halloween alien, maybe.
You're right. It was a little
More Halloween. But we're gonna talk to our guest now, can't we? Because he's a cool cat. All right, guys, enjoy. Here we got Mr. Hudson West.
Steve, we are joined by youth, energy, and talent in the room today.
We got him. Yes. There he is.
Hudson.
West, ladies and... What's up, Hudson?
Hey.
How are you, dude?
Great. How about you?
We're doing great, man. How's life?
Not bad. Just got
not done. Bad.
That was school. What does school look like for you right now?
Well, it was on Zoom for over a year, and it just now started to be, it's not mandatory. You can either go in person or online still.
And awesome.
So that's a thing. I'm like still kind of working out, you know, days that I need to be online if I can do that. And then days where, you know, if I want to, I could go in person.
So are you in like civilian school or like professional actor school?
Yeah. It's civilian school, I guess. It's, it's a private school. So it's a real school, but it's, yeah. And when I was in public, they told me it'd be fine if I could miss days, and then I missed days, and then, you know, they'd be after me. So with public private school, with the tuition, I'm able to miss school, and they're good about
sure.
that.
Sure. Well, yeah. I didn't know this, but like if in public school, if you miss a lot of days, they don't get the funding for you from like the state or the municipality.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
So, but at a private school, they know that you're going to pay no matter what. So they don't care.
Exactly. As long as, you know, they don't care if I'm in school or, you know, a couple years ago. But, and yeah, that was a problem with kindergarten. I got
totally
unenrolled.
Dude,
and
don't even get me started on kindergarten, man. The problems I had in kindergarten.
Yeah. You know. You're not supposed to smoke in kindergarten, Bradford.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's when I first started like acting around there. And so it was like my first time dealing with that whole being away from school. And because I moved from Ohio, so I just get a new school in California and then another new school in California.
Right. So now that you just let that out, let's talk about the parallel lives of you and Steve Burton growing up in Ohio and then coming out for Hollywood fame.
Yeah. But Hudson, didn't you kind of have a pit stop in Arizona?
Yeah. Well, it's complicated. So I was originally from Dayton, Ohio. And when I started acting, I was called out to California. And my dad is working in Ohio, or he did. So he and my brother had to stay. And that was a long commute. I didn't get to see my family a whole often being in California and Ohio across the country. And so, and it kind of worked out because his job was kind of getting rough and they weren't treating him well. So he was able to get a job at the VA in Arizona. So those two, my brother and my dad, moved to Arizona. And so now I can go there. You know, I spent most of quarantine in Arizona.
Awesome.
I drove there. My mom drives overnight, so there's no traffic. It's just like 6 hours.
6 hours, yeah.
So how did TV find you in Ohio? Were you sending self-tapes? Like, and if so, how did it start for you? How did you start, you know, weaving your way to LA?
Yeah. Well, so it started off with just, you know, me being in Dayton, Ohio. There's not a whole lot of opportunities there. And some people would just, I guess, talk to my mom about how I should do something like, you know, print or modeling, something like that. And you know, they said I was so cute or whatever. So then the place that we kind of found was in Cincinnati, and it's called Wings Modeling Agency. And I went there for just print work and stuff, and they would have workshops, like acting workshops, where people from, you know, casting directors, people like that from out here
would
go to Ohio, hold the workshops. And so
it's awesome.
Basically from there, I guess I had like a pretty good attention span at like 4 years old. So
isn't it funny? That's really all it takes sometimes. Like, wow, that kid will look at me for like 10 solid seconds.
Exactly. And so, and of course the competition wasn't too hard because all the other kids were just bouncing off the walls and stuff. Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so they kind of recognized me from there. And then from there, they invited me to Expo in Dallas, Texas. I had no clue what this was, but I just went there. 5 years old with my mom, who just went to Texas in Dallas for a couple days. And you would do things like monologues, cold reads, modeling.
Awesome.
Two-person scenes, stuff like that. Wow. In front of a stage, in front of an audience full of producers and things like that. And so, I think that most of them were like representation.
Sure.
And so from there, they would see me and they just called me to
come. Wow.
Wow. So it was after that trip to Dallas that your family was like, I think LA's where we need to be.
I guess so. That,
wow.
Like I said, I can't remember hardly any of it because it's
right.
But
sure.
One day, you know, my parents had a, you know, talk if we wanted to do it. And I guess they said yes.
And wow. And Hudson, how old are you right now?
13.
13 years old. That's right. I know, we just had some scenes together finally. Again, it's been
awesome. One of those days was actually on my birthday. I was on set at GH.
I think that was the day that we did our scenes.
It actually wasn't. It was really close though. It was like, I think it was around maybe February 22nd or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
So it was just like a week after.
Yeah, but it was so cool to be able to work with you again. It's been so long, you know.
Yeah, it was great seeing you again. And
it's been a while.
I was excited.
Yeah, when you first got out to LA, what was the beginning of your esteemed career?
Well, we stayed at like a really crappy like hotel. Like it looks like a motel. It's not that bad. It's called the Safari Inn.
Oh yeah, we know where that is in Burbank, dude.
Yeah, amazing.
It looks like a motel, and I liked it there. I really liked it there.
Well, I imagine for like a 5-year-old kid, you're like, look at all the animals. This is cool. Like it probably looked like a fun place.
I think that hotel was in True Romance. And a
he
bunch
probably
of
hasn't seen that
movies.
Yet. And don't encourage him.
Yeah, you're right. Don't watch that.
Well, you're right. There's a lot of filming going on there and stuff. Yeah. And so, but yeah, I stayed there for a long time. And there on that street, it's just like, I remember we went to a lot of Domino's, a Pollo Loco, and there's another place, McDonald's, I think's there, and we would just stay on that street. My mom's too scared to drive around LA and go further out, so then we would eat the same thing every night. And I don't even know actually from there, just stuff kind of worked out.
But it sounds like it could have felt like just like an adventure, and a cool adventure with mom, right? Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's what it sounds like. Of course, I like I said, I can't really remember like what I actually felt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I think I was like really scared or something. I don't know. But we got some great representation, and then I just spent a lot of time doing little stuff, and then we moved apartment. We finally got an apartment. Then we got another apartment because that place is not working out.
I know. We all have that carousel of places.
Yeah, but he's had it and he's only 13. So yeah, that's
right.
Awesome.
I know.
What an adventure.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
That's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
When did you actually first get on General Hospital? Do you remember what year that was?
How old were you when that happened?
I was probably 8. I think.
Okay.
8.
Okay. So you'd already been out here for a couple years.
It had been a couple years. I had done some stuff before that. I was maybe 7 or 8. And one day from school, my mom picked me up. And the script was pretty heavy material. And she throws it at me, you know, got to get in the car. And just got it that day. And
oh, wow. And you had to go in that day?
Well, kind of.
Oh, so sorry.
And so... We're driving there. I'm reading it. You know, the script isn't actually my character. It's from something else. And I'm having to like cry and stuff. And so I'm just reading it over and over. We get there and we don't know where we're going. Cause you know, it's just crazy. Yeah. And we get there, we check in with the front lady. We're like, you know, nobody's there. We're just like, we're here for the GH audition. And she's like, well, your name's not on the list, but just head up to the 5th floor. And we went up there. Mark, he's just kind of wandering around, and so are we. We're just you know, no one's around. And he comes out, you guys here for the audition? And we're like, yeah. And it was 4 days from now. It was, we were there on Thursday. It was the next like Monday or something.
Oh man.
Amazing.
We were all those days early, but Mark said, I can do you now. And so we did the audition that day. And so I guess maybe I kind of stood out because I was there that early. And
or you were good. Maybe there's that. Maybe that too.
Maybe, probably not. Yeah. But and then and then in between the first audition and the callback, I broke my finger, but it ended up being my whole growth plate, so I had a forearm cast. And for the callback, I was there with the cast on, and I didn't have the cast on for the first audition, but I was there with it for the callback. And I remember that. And I remember my mom's like, well, it's for a hospital show, so I guess it'll work.
There you go.
That's smart.
There you go.
How'd you break your arm?
Oh boy. So do you know what those hoverboards are? Where?
Yes.
All right. So I was really good at riding them. I got them like the day they came out. And
really good.
Yeah, really good. And and of course there was all those, you know, malfunctions with those. Some were blowing up, but mine never did that. But when I would step off, there it would act up and it would start driving around on its own and banging into my furniture and especially my coffee table would chip off the paint from, you know, going into it. And so I would start pressing the button to turn it off while I was still standing on it. And so it's kind of by the wheel. And one day I ran over my finger and I have a messed up middle finger, my middle fingernail. Now.
Well, don't show us that one.
But and so it still looks really good. But anyway.
So how has your hand modeling career suffered from that?
Yeah.
That took a heavy loss. But yeah. And my whole nail actually came off.
Oh,
and,
man.
And I guess it fractured my whole growth plate, so it was on an arm cast. And it came off. They put it on my finger with the cast on. So when I got my cast off after a month, it was still like kind of attached to my finger and it took a few days for it to come off.
Mm.
It's like yellow and purple and my finger was so slender and I couldn't cut my nail for a while. So it was real long and disgusting. And so when it grew back kind of weird. And it looks like there's two layers of the nail and I can kind of put my other nail through like in it. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. This is quite the story.
Wow. Yeah. And so all that was happening and you still booked the job.
Yeah. That I still booked it. I was, yeah. I was up in, I think I did it in Frank's office. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I think so. And yeah, it was awesome. I was happy with my performance that day. And I made all the people cry, all the producers and Frank.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely.
Well done.
You know, you're such a talented actor. Like you're so natural. And that's what just working with you, you could tell that you're not trying, you're not forcing it. You know, whatever your mom's done or whatever training you've been in, it's amazing. Just like when we started worked, you know, a month ago, it was just like, right. You were right there, you know, and it's really hard to find with younger actors. There's only been a few that have pulled off what you're pulling off, dude.
I really appreciate
and, it. Yeah, man. And the confirmation is all the other jobs you're getting out there, all the other work you're doing is absolutely Bradford and I today were on earlier and we were looking at your IMDb. We're like, this dude's worked more than both of us put together and he's 13.
Got like 30 something credits, you know.
36.
Yeah, that's amazing, dude.
36, by the way, I'm counting. Oh.
Okay.
Well, and like all over the map too, but you know, like great movies and comedies and sitcoms and Netflix shows. Like, I mean, you've really put together a great body of experience. Now, like as to what Steve said, I mean, you've been on the show for 6 years now, I think, right? That's simple math, right? You're 13.
Yeah, 5. Yeah, that's 5 years, eight and five.
I thought he said 7. Five, okay. Or six,
you're
right?
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, I actually got the actual date. It was March. My first day filming was March 3rd, 2016. So a little bit after my birthday, five years ago. And
cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, I mean, like when you first started, did you really think about, you know, acting or were you just memorizing words? And you know, 5, 6, 7 years later, now that you've been here, sometimes, you know, like after you do it for a while, you start thinking more about what you're doing. And sometimes that can get in your way. And sometimes, so like, how do you approach your work now? And, you know, like, is there, are you still kind of just like going by instinct, or are you, have you had some training, or is it just your experience that has taught you like, oh, when I do this, people like it and it feels right?
Well, so at the start of it, I couldn't even read. So my mom would have to read me my lines. And so I just have to hear it and then memorize it. But of course, that was way back. I spent years and years of just doing classes all over, improv classes, voiceover classes, just cold reads, just bunch of awesome people, Marnie Cooper, Lynn Ann Zager, just everybody. And I spent a lot of years doing that. So that, as far as like training, there's that goes. And I have some awesome acting coaches. And
cool.
If I get like a self tape or even just like back then when it was just a regular audition, I'd run it with them. And if it was like a little bit, you know, difficult, but I mean, if not, yeah, I guess it's kind of just natural instinct. But I'd say it tends to be a little bit safer kind of going with like an expert, like an acting coach.
Sure.
But
yeah.
So now, of course I read it. I read it myself first, and I'll, you know, just get a feel for the character and stuff. And sometimes like, and he'll give me a chance. My acting coaches, they'll give me a chance to just read it myself, like with my instinct. And sometimes, you know, I'm right. Sometimes I'm not. And I just,
that's all. Listen, man, that's great that you're studying. Obviously, this is what you want to do. And obviously, this is what you should do because you have a great talent for it. And the fact that you're still studying and going to coaches and all these things, don't ever stop that, because people get complacent and people get, you know, they take things for granted. Hey, I'm working. I don't need to do this anymore. Keep that drive and motivation alive, because it's so important, you know, to hit your goals, because you got goals, right? I mean, you want to do other stuff. You want to do films. What do you want to do? Like, what are your goals?
Yeah. I've done, you know, a lot of guest spots on TV shows. And what I've really, really wanted would to be, you know, a feature film, a movie where I guess I could be the lead or whatever, and gotten really close with a few. One, like Adam Sandler and Kevin James and all those people. And I was just,
close.
And that was just like a few weeks ago, and that got me really, really hyped. And it, of course, it, you know, I mean, it didn't fall through, but that was like a dream role. And I got another audition that's kind of like that, and I'm still waiting to hear from that. It hasn't been too long. Cool. I just did, like, maybe, you know, a couple days ago. And so,
cool, man, it's awesome.
I'm going for like a feature film.
Nice, man. So,
Are you auditioning a lot right now?
Yeah, it's pretty busy. I mean, throughout quarantine and lockdown and all that stuff, for the first few months, of course, dead silent, but so picking up at the end of last year to about now, it's been a good bit. Yeah, good bit of auditions.
So, you know, with the diverse, you know, things you've done, what's the most fun project you've worked on? And I know, like, I working with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, but also working with Steve Burton. I mean, come on. So like,
don't put me in that list.
But you know, like, I was, so it could just be like the people you're around, or like, do you enjoy the process of daytime as much as, or more than single camera, or what do you like?
All right. Well, let's see. There's a few questions there. Yeah. So, of course, I've loved being on General Hospital for, you know, a long time. It's going back there. It's awesome. And, you know, doing, you know, new sets, you know, having to meet everybody for the first time and stuff, and not as much chemistry with the actors. So it's always awesome, you know, going to GHI. You know, I know everybody. I know the actors. I love everyone there. Yeah. And so that's been a big part of my life. And so that's been awesome. I really like doing a Penny Dreadful. They cut a lot of my episodes, so it didn't look like I did that much, but I filmed like from August of 2019 to the following March of 2020. And that was awesome. I loved, you know, the other, you know, cast and crew. And that
where did you shoot that, Hudson?
It was, it remained in California, but we went a lot of places. We mostly north, Pasadena, Santa Clarita, on the beach, Zuma Beach, I think we did.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
And so that was all over. They have a few base stages. And yeah, so we'd do some there, but on location a few times, and that was awesome. And sorry, what were the other questions I heard?
I just think in terms of, it could just be, you know, the most fun you've had on a show or a movie, or if you've identified like what kind of genre you really flourish in.
Yeah. Okay. What I had a blast on also was LA's Finest. It was I did the pilot episode, and so it was just a guest spot, but what we got to do there was really cool. There was a lot of special effects, and I was like, cool, this close away from getting to jump off to Santa Monica Pier, but they...
Oh, man, that would have been awesome.
I know, they had a stunt double, and their MP was like, I'm not going to get to do it. And they're like, you know, the wig doesn't really match the color. And I was like, yeah, I might get to do it. And they just went back and forth. And,
was it like a 40-year-old guy with, like, a short 40-year-old guy with a wig on?
It was like a 30-year-old woman.
And
there was that, but they just had like they had to blow up a real house that was like set for destruction.
Sure.
And of course in the show I was in that house, but
right,
and they had got to really do that, and they just had like all these fake guns and explosions, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as drama, as far as genre, I prefer drama. Or stuff like I've never been a fan of like Disney shows or stuff that's kind of like
really broad stuff.
Yeah, or a little just not like grounded, or just a little bit silly. Which, you know, they're fun roles, and I've been doing a few lately, and they're fun. But I haven't had the great experiences with those. But
it's a tough thing. You have to approach it differently, because if you're looking for that. Oh, I
gotta
connect.
It's a different ball game for sure.
Because like part of the fun of acting is like connecting with a scene partner and feeling like something real is happening. But with that kind of broad comedy, you don't necessarily get that. It's more about accomplishing, you know, getting something together. Like, hey, we did that, and that was really funny, and that was really cool. We created something unique, but it doesn't have that same kind of connection and it doesn't satisfy as much. I understand that completely.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And, you know, those are great roles too. But I don't know. I just like kind of harder, challenging, like kind of darkish. As far as just like me personally, what I watch for entertainment, I do like, you know, horror, sci-fi, or drama, kind of more darker shows.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you started, I mean, really, your dramatic acting started on General Hospital.
Yeah, pretty
much. I mean, you got to be put into situations that most actors will never get to really experience their whole life. And you were there doing stuff that was super deep and super emotional, you know, and then all of a sudden you got to go do a guest spot on a Disney show. You got to shake all that stuff off.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly.
Who are some of the actors that you look like that you like?
Yeah. All right.
Today.
I've been looking at this, and I mean, as far as like, you know, funny movies, I think actors like Melissa McCarthy and Will Ferrell and just Ryan Reynolds, those are just hilarious actors.
Yeah.
And you know, of course it'd be great to be like them, but that's more of just like, you're either kind of born kind of like outgoing, kind of funny like that, or you're not. And so that's kind of a thing like that. But, Robert De Niro or, Johnny.
All right. Johnny Depp's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's just all those awesome actors.
Yeah, totally. Right. Do you like watch a bunch of old movies, like a bunch of their old stuff?
I like to watch I Love Lucy. It's
nice.
That's a great dude. She's amazing.
Well, dude, yeah, and that's like, a, yeah, that's a clinic, man.
She's
on, like,
amazing.
Timing. And yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you're gearing toward comedy, dude, if you're watching that.
Yeah. And you know, Lucille Ball, she was, I feel like she kind of changed the landscape of like a lot of kind of aspects of just
everything.
Yeah.
But besides all that, just, it's just like kind of like mindless and just happy, and you know, you just can watch it kind of easily. But
totally.
And then as far as like darker shows that I like to watch, I really like American Horror Story and you know, Breaking Bad, just all those awesome shows. And
yeah,
and
look out. All right. Yeah. 13?
Hey, what? Hey, hold on. Let me see your ID, dude. Let me see
right?
your ID right now. Yeah.
You know what? I may not be the first person to say this. You remind me kind of a young Ryan Gosling, too. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, a good bit. More Brad Pitt, but...
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, we don't want to insult you. That's awesome.
Amazing. Is that why... Are you growing your hair out? Are you going for Legends in the Fall, Brad Pitt? Is that what's going on?
Pretty much. I've always had my hair a little bit, I guess, longer, because that's what my mom liked. That when I was real little, she had my like down to here. I hated it, but then like Penny Dreadful, that was 1930s, so they had my hair short for that, and I started liking that. And then lockdown, I had no choice but to grow it out, and then now I like it again. And
nice.
And so there's
hey, well, it's, you know, cool. Variety is the spice of life and whatnot. So yeah,
hey,
whatever you're feeling.
Hudson, what else? What do you like to do outside of acting?
All right. Well, I really like to. I just went skiing not too long ago for my spring break. That's like more of like a once or twice a year thing. But
yeah.
I really like baseball and football, ice skating. I like to draw. Golf.
Cool. Nice.
During lockdown, that's something where we were able to go places where.
Yeah.
No one's there, and just go out to the course and just swing. And my dad's been really obsessed with that, and he's really he's been teaching me. He's got online,
that's awesome,
online courses, and he teaches me.
That's great.
He thinks he'll go to work, and he tells me all day at work. He thinks about what I need to do. Then he comes home. We want to go to the golf course. We go to the driving range. Let's go. And then
we come
home. Let's watch some videos on it. Let's watch the pros and. And
you're so, like, Dad, I already have a profession. Thanks.
Yeah. But it's always good to have, you know, a few things under your belt.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sure. Golf's a great one.
Yeah.
That's occupied me a lot lately. And then not so productive stuff, just watching TV or, you know, playing video games. But
what video games do you play? What system do you have?
Well, I was just on a PlayStation, and then I recently got a computer. And
oh, you got a gaming computer?
Yeah. And
oh, my son's been harassing me for one of these gaming computers. Harassing me.
What is the benefit to a gaming computer versus like a PS5? Why would you
faster?
Oh,
they're fat. The screen. The pick. Go ahead. You tell them what. Tell them what it is.
Oh, I could go on too long about this. I'll sum it up. But
okay. Go ahead. Perfect.
But speaking of what Steve said, I had to harass my parents for a good while, and it was influenced by all my friends having it and not me. But if we're getting real technical, there's more FPS, frames per second.
Per second. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
Yeah. Space, storage. And besides like a PlayStation, that's where you're like kind of bound to just games, where like a computer, it still has just the computer aspect to it. So there's just, you know, I can do schoolwork on there.
Oh,
I see what you mean.
I've heard this pitch before.
Yeah, that's what that's a Eustace. I use this on my parents.
I know. I'm hearing the same pitch every day.
Yeah, but it is true. Like, you have the whole internet. You can watch movies on there. But so you have the games and you have all that.
Get out of here.
And so, and these are all desktop computers, like, or
they have
like
laptops.
Just,
yeah.
So I told my son no. And then now he's like, can I get the gaming laptop? So I'm like, okay, that makes a little more sense to me. Maybe we'll do the gaming laptop.
I haven't looked at desktop computers
because you're old.
Well, no, because I don't look to purchase them. Is it all in the monitor now, or do you buy a separate monitor with like then a cube or something?
No, you piece it together.
You piece it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the old Dells. Remember, you buy the Dell and it would come in different pieces. The gaming computers do that.
What is your gaming computer? Let's let Hudson. Let's let the provide the expert.
I know. I wanted to ask him. Like, do you know what like the FPS is for like a PlayStation compared to what you have?
Yeah. So, PlayStation, the FPS was limited at 60, and depending on your PC, people can get a couple thousand. But
wow.
Mine, I don't know exactly mine, but it's probably a couple hundred. And then going about like what Steve was saying, you have to get the computer itself, the big box, and then you have to get a monitor,
right,
and then a keyboard, and then a mouse. And of course, there's
more, right,
you can get a camera, mic, mouse pad, sure, that kind of stuff. But
what games lend themselves better to computers?
Literally like all of them. The computer is just, it's better in all ways.
Why are people fighting over Xboxes and PlayStations?
Because they're hundreds of dollars cheaper.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I mean, new Xbox $500-$600, and the gaming computer could be anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000.
Exactly. Okay. And yeah. So there's that, but there's just a whole lot more. And people say you have a controller for your PlayStation than you have the keyboard and mouse, and people say that it's easier to learn and get better at games on keyboard and mouse rather than a controller.
Oh, interesting. All right, so you are living as a 13-year-old living in Southern California on TV and movies. You're living the dream. 10 years from now, where do you want to be?
This is a tough one, but you know, if it depends on how my career goes, but if, you know, if I make it big and, you know, in the off chance, then of course that'd be awesome. But, you know, if not, it could be something I could continue as a hobby and then have a different job that I go to college for and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I'm definitely planning on high school and college. And so there's that, but it's, you know, it can be inconsistent at times.
Sure.
But of course, like, you know, like I said, if you make it big, then there is no problem. But
there's no if. If you want to make it big, Hudson, you have everything as a package to make it big.
Yeah. And
so
and,
the only reason you're not going to make it big is if you quit. Don't quit. You're going to make it big.
And whatever success means to you, you can find it. You know, if success to you means having a huge movie career or whatever, go get it. And if you're happy, do whatever it is that makes you happy. Like, goals can, you know, what you think of success can change over the course of your life. And that's okay too.
Yeah. You know, and it's cool that I just want to say, I know your mom, and it's awesome that she's there and so supportive, because my dad was the same way when I started. I started at about your age. About 13 or 14. And, you know, without his support and positivity, I wouldn't have done what I've done, because he wouldn't let me give up. You know, he was always there saying, hey, it's all right, let's go, you know? So just know, I want you to know that you're super talented. And if you don't give up, you're going to do whatever you want to do.
Thanks so much, Steve. But so. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And my mom has been awesome. And
she is, yeah.
And so that's, I'm just curious, Steve, where are you from in Ohio?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, Cleveland, yeah.
But most of I meet people from Ohio, they're from Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why that is, but it's true.
Do you still have family back there?
I they're distant, but
okay.
Yes.
There's no Hudson West Day in Dayton, and everyone comes out for it. There will be. Okay.
There will be.
But I got like kind of like family friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do have like some second cousins or something there. And
right.
They're there. And so when I go back there, I see people, and my mom has a lot of friends, and my dad has some friends there too. But As far as just like me, like my friends my age, I didn't get a whole lot there because I didn't really go to school that often.
Sure.
And what I did for a while, the system was kind of 6 months of school out here, and then go back there for the rest of the year. And
right.
So even when I was in school, you know, I'd just come back and be new every year. So
yeah,
that's cool, yeah. Man.
Hey, man. Well, it's an incredible, auspicious start to what it's going to be an incredible career in life. So well done, man. And so like, you know, as you've been on the show for this long, and I've never talked to you for this long. So it's been a real treat to get to know you.
Yeah.
That's
and awesome. Hey dude, I appreciate you doing this. We really do. It's awesome to show everybody kind of who you are and what a great kid you are. So thank you, man.
That's great to hear, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah. You're great. Welcome. Right. Buddy.
Be yeah, well, dude. Man.
Have a great one.
It's great talking to you guys.
Thanks, dude.
All right. See you, dude.
Have a good day. Hudson West, ladies and gentlemen, what a great kid. Awesome. Awesome kid. Great actor.
Yeah.
He's done way more than you and I ever will.
I mean,
and it's incredible, man.
There's no way I can catch up with him, and I'm behind. Then there's just no way. Yeah.
He's cool. So I love working with him. I hope I get to work with him more. And thanks again, Hudson, for just,
God, they grow up so quick, don't they?
I know, man. It's crazy, dude. They grow up fast, buddy.
Nuts.
Grow fast, so.
Especially when they grow up right in front of you and you don't see them every day. Like I don't clock when my kids grow, but I can, like, the kids on GH, every time I see them, they're like a foot taller.
Well, it's crazy because with your own kid, if you're gone, like we're gone on tour sometimes, and it's like,
yeah, for
a week or 10 days,
and you come back, I'm like,
you've changed, right? Yeah. And then I haven't seen Hudson for a while. I'm like, you're a whole new person,
right?
This is a teenager now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's nuts.
But
nuts.
He's doing awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Anyway, you guys check out StoneColdTheJackal.com. We're going on tour May, July, August. We got all kinds of things happening. YouTube, check out our bad jokes.
Yeah, we had a cool new reaction video go up just the day or so before.
Yes,
so
we
if
did,
you
buddy.
Remember, if you remember the Girls Next Door coming on GH back in 2008 or whenever it was, you can watch us react to that. Steve
yeah,
didn't
that was
remember.
Fun.
Yeah,
yeah, but I did put some sound effects in there in case you want to watch
it. Oh, no.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, amazing.
Dude, it's going to be amazing. So,
well, thanks to Hudson for joining us. Thanks to all for listening. If you wouldn't mind rating and reviewing our show on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated so other like-minded people could enjoy it as well. We'd super appreciate that because we're 3 years into this thing, buddy. 3 years.
3 years. That's amazing.
3 years.
That's so cool.
So if there's anyone that so you cool. know that would enjoy this, feel free to share it or just, you know, and give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen. That would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
That's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.